this week's episode, we have a special guest joining us to discuss his work with making our lives better in Linux audio. Of course, this work has helped everyone at this point, but ever since it was first usable in Fedora, we've been singing the praises of Pipewire. Yeah. And Wim Taemans is joining us this week for an interview about the project that has revolutionized how Linux handles multimedia. Welcome to episode number 363 of Destination Linux, your favorite video podcast. My name is Jill.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Michael.
Now, let's get this awesome show on the road toward Destination Linux.
Today, we're welcoming Wim Taemans to the show. He is the founder of Pipewire. We have talked about Pipewire on many occasions. We are huge fans of this, this particular project. Mm-hmm. So, Wim, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yay.
So, first of all, Pipewire is one of our absolute favorite improvements to Linux. It massively helps us do this show. So, thank you for that. But for the new listeners of our show, can you explain what Pipewire is and how it works?
Well, how it works is a little bit difficult in this little time, but it's essentially a media routing bus. So it shovels multimedia around. It does a little bit of history with video and audio, but the core idea is that it sits right above the kernel and the low-level libraries like ALSA and all of that. And it orchestrates between applications to send multimedia around. So you can have between devices, between applications, a little bit what Jack does, but more generalized to all kinds of multimedia, so also video. So it's based on existing things, so I didn't invent everything. So it's based on IPC, based on Wayland. GStreamer is like for format negotiation, buffer memory allocation with memory, FD, DMA buff, all kinds of modern Linux infrastructure to make that work. And the scheduling is heavily based on Jack. So I tried to use all kinds of things that existed and built them together.
So for people who are brand new to Linux still, they boot up their computer, they go onto YouTube, they go play some music, that type of stuff. They're not going to, one of the great things I think about Pipewire is they're not going to notice the difference, right? They're just, but this is how they get their audio. This is something controlling the audio that they're experiencing in the background in some form or fashion, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it runs in the background. If it doesn't work, people complain. If it works, it's always meant to work. And why wouldn't it work?
Yeah, especially
what's
with
so hard about it, you know, some audio.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you don't notice it until it's not there, you know. Uh-huh. And when we switched to Fedora, we were using it a period of time before Pipewire came out, and there were some issues with Pulse Audio and stuff like that. And we were trying to get like this high end production configuration set up, and then Pipewire was introduced in Fedora, and we didn't even notice it was there until we were reading the release notes. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh wow, okay, we have this now. So let's play with like the features it offers, and then it is effectively provides us the value of Jack without having to deal with the headache that is.
Well,
like,
Jack
is great, but setting up Jack is not the easiest thing to do.
I mean, to be honest, like it was such a hurdle once you get into professional audio. And Jack can do some great things, but again, the learning curve and some of the stuff we needed to do with piping between multiple applications and mix minusing between multiple applications just was a disaster, to the point where we were like, maybe there's a proprietary solution we're going to have to use here. And then Pipewire came, and I don't have to use any of that. In fact, we're mixing all the audio right now through Jitsi Room with our patrons and all that stuff, all thanks to the work in Pipewire and, of course, just using the QW graph and it's easy to patch. It's just so simple. What motivated you to create Pipewire? So we love that you did, you know, everyone got together and did, but what motivated the creation of it?
I think the first development or the first requirement for something Pipewire-like was in 2015. It's already a long time ago. And that was for sharing cameras. So currently all browsers, we're trying to change that. They go directly to the kernel to access cameras. So there is no sharing. There is no permission control or anything like that. So in Flatpak times, which were like developed around that time, it needed to be shielded. So we thought, okay, we make something similar like we had for audio, and we call it Pulse Video. And so, but then for cameras. So that was the first kind of beginnings of PipeWire. And then also with that idea, we experimented a little bit with GStreamer. We had then screen sharing through Wayland, because Wayland doesn't natively do screen sharing, so you have to do something else. And there was, again, PipeWire. Okay, we can use that to funnel frames from one application, the compositor, to applications that need to grab the screen. And we can control the security and who has access and all of that. So the first beginnings were purely motivated by that. And then afterwards, I actually realized that I could also do audio with it. Why not? If I was shuffling around multimedia. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write an audio server. And I did, and it worked. And then I thought, okay, maybe I can just rewrite Pulse Audio now with this. And then I could. Awesome. And then I thought, oh, maybe I can rewrite Jack with that. I couldn't, though. So I had to do three rewrites to get to the same kind of performance as Jack, which was interesting to learn, of course, what the requirements were there. Jack is really good. It's really good server.
And I mean, that's awesome that you works, to attack that, you know. If you're going after Jack, is something that I didn't expect anyone would want to do, because it's like it's already well established and everything. And going after it with the purpose of making it easier is like,
that's what was so
wow, needed. You know, it's like it's so important. But also, you were talking about how you were just realizing it could do something else, and you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll just do that too. That's the best way. Like you could expect this, because just seeing that it could be done, and then you're like, I'll just try, see if I can, and then all of a sudden you're making this sort of thing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because I always thought it was just going to be crazy. Why Pulse Audio and Jack? Who wants to rewrite any of that? But I have to give credit. I was allowed to do this as my job, so I was given plenty of time. It took like 4 years or something. So,
wow, that's incredible, awesome. Though, because I've run across a lot of things in Linux that, you know, like, hey, maybe I could fix that. And unlike your story, though, I can't, because I don't have the skill. So, you know, that's the difference between us. yeah, I wanted to fix the audio stuff too, and I looked at it. I think I had a few patches I actually wrote for Jack to fix some.
I didn't have the skills to write Jack either when I started this at all.
That's wild. And
Over the years, you learn exactly how it works, the little details and every small little thing. And then you sort of reiterate on that knowledge.
Yeah.
I noticed you have a keyboard in your background, a musical keyboard. Is some of your inspiration for fixing, you know, some of the limitations with Pulse and stuff come from your interest in music at all? Just out of curiosity?
Not particularly with the keyboard, but I do play guitar, but I don't really plug it into a computer. I'm old school. Mm-hmm. I'll just plug it in a tube amp. And
nice.
I'm happy with that.
Well, now you can with PipeWire. You make it pretty easy.
I could. I experimented with guitarics. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then,
So Wim, I had been using Jack for years to do Linux video podcasting, and it's so wonderful with PipeWire, you know, not having to install a low latency kernel and do all the setup with Jack. You know, what's not to love? You know, low latency audio, unified video handling, and compatibility with awesome established tools like Pulse Audio and Jack. Do you think the compatibility with existing tools is one of the reasons it was so quickly adopted?
yes, probably.
Yeah.
But the problem is with saying yes to that is that the compatibility actually needs to be really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. Because else it just falls apart. And also there again, we had many iterations of emulations that didn't work, and it just really didn't. So it took again a long time to get that compatibility going. And we had to rewrite actually Pulse Audio as a little server and stuff like that to emulate all of these particularities of the API correctly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you see, Pipewire appeared in my distro and it worked right away. But we had to work a long time on that.
Yeah, it's like the overnight success that took 15 years to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So here's another question. How did your work with GStreamer affect Pipewire? Because GStreamer is, you know, that was revolutionary when it came out. So, because it made it in inner communication with video and audio, you know, so much easier, especially for playing like web streams and whatnot.
Yeah, I think from a GStreamer point of view, I think what I learned there is the need for format negotiation, buffer allocations, like state management of when things are running, when things are stopping, how to do that kind of thing.
Cool.
Nice.
So that is pretty, well, there is a lot of that in Pipewire for format and buffers. So
yes.
With little tweaks. Because GStreamer is not interprocess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But,
so. I'm curious. You were talking about how Pulse Audio and Jack, how the work you are with doing with making compatible. So you said you do a Pulse Audio server to make that work. So is it fair to say that Pipewire is kind of sitting on top of Pulse Audio in a way, or are they separate things that it's just kind of using the API tools?
Yeah, it's a complete re-implementation of the Pulse Audio server. So the Pulse Audio server in Pipewire is basically just a translation layer. So you have a Pulse Audio protocol that all the apps talk, and that is translated into equivalent Pipewire commands and queries and object tree. So it's kind of like a translation layer in between, but all of the processing of the audio happens on top of Pipewire itself. So together with the Jack apps, there is just like one Pulse Audio client, your browser.
So is that the same case with the Jack, I assume, where you're building your own Jack kind of implementation? So it's more of like a translation layer of being able to take the stuff that's being sent to the what would be Jack and then piping it through Pipewire.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So in Jack, we were able to do that as a library itself without adding a server. Impulse Audio that could maybe have been done as well. There is a plan to do that, but and it is written in such a way that it could be done, but currently it's just a little server.
Okay, I mean there was a lot of confusion around that, whether it's sitting on top of or it's being like kind of like using, but so it's more of like just taking the existing what is there and making sure that works through the Pipewire. That I think that's a fantastic approach. And so clearly Pipewire is useful for all kinds of people. I mean, it's useful for everyday people who are just using it to listen to, you know, music or watch a video on YouTube and that sort of thing. But it's also useful for technical users. Could you offer some examples of how each group might benefit from Pipewire? I mean, in terms of like how they could directly interact with Pipewire.
Yeah, so it runs in the background. So I think the most important part of all of this is that your applications run. So yeah. I think for regular users, if you have a current desktop with Pipewire, you can simply just run Ardour or like Guitarix out of the box with a decent latency. Or like have drum machines be synchronized with the DAW and all of these things that Jack Transport does. So I think it's just easier to run apps. So I guess that's a good thing for users. And then for professional users, well, you know, I think Pipewire is built to be super modular. So I think what we're seeing is that People are implementing like these new things that didn't exist on Linux yet, like AES, PTP clocks. We have some stuff that's going on that is going on that for which you need like this Dante hardware, which is very expensive. People are experimenting with that. I don't know. I can't really buy these things. But it's interesting that people are implementing these things now on top of PipeWire.
This episode is brought to you by Namecheap. Now, Namecheap is where we go to get all of our domains. And if you know anything about Michael, who's responsible for our domains, there's a lot of them. There's like a lot. And Namecheap is a fantastic place to go and get the domains you need to start your new business and start it cheaply. You can get URLs, you can do self-hosting, you can have WordPress set up for you, or you can just get the domain itself and set all that stuff up elsewhere. They have all kinds of options, whether you're a blogger, small business owner, you have big dreams on the internet. Well, Namecheap is the place to check out. So head to destinationlinux.net/Namecheap to get started and check out all the options that you have for starting your next big business or even small business or blog or whatever it is. It's all there.
Whether you have a big idea or the next big business, the price is not big at Namecheap. We've started doing random testing of stuff just to see, you know, like any kind of audio equipment we get, we're doing it for
Rode Procaster.
Yeah, the Procaster. And all these different things that we're testing with. And so far, it's just been fantastic. We don't have any complaints, you know.
Used to be so bad, to give you an example. And you know, the audio in Linux before PipeWire was good for everyday users. If you plugged in your headphones, you wanted to listen to your music, whatever, it was fine. There wasn't anything a normal user would experience. But anytime you got into any level of semi-pro or pro equipment, mm-hmm. it just fell flat. I had so many problems where I'd buy mixers and they just would not initiate correctly, or it'd create 80 versions of it, or there was just so many problems. So frustrating. And then PipeWire comes along and it's like everything's plug and play. And a lot of that is because the manufacturers too weren't utilizing standards. So I get some of it's not all the audio situation, and so those problems can kind of still exist. But that kind of takes me into my question about, you know, we've seen major distributions like Fedora and others adopting PipeWire, which I'm very excited about. In fact, when I do reviews now on my YouTube channel, if PipeWire is not in there, it's to me you're going to lose some points for that. How's the current adoption landscape though, and what challenges are you facing in integration? Is there any holdouts that you're hoping to get resolved to maybe get some other people to get on board, or is everything running as smooth as you imagine?
I'm not exactly following this very closely, I must say. But I think most distros have switched to PipeWire, as far as I know, or at least have an option to enable it. Mm-hmm. I still see a use case for a specialized distro that has been using Jack in very specialized situation with plugins or apps or something that need to run that are not working quite right. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think most of the adoption now is for the applications. One of the things that is missing still is the camera access. We're trying to fix that now in the browsers. And OBS. OBS has an experimental PipeWire camera. This is a slow process. FireWire is also not so very well supported. So you have the ALSA drivers, they sort of work, but have very high latency. And then there's the Fado drivers, which I wrote a plugin untested. It compiled. Some people have been trying it, but it doesn't maybe run so well. So
how prevalent is FireWire? How prevalent is it needed to have FireWire support?
I don't know.
Because I haven't heard anybody talk about FireWire in a long time.
But I imagine there was so much audio equipment back in the day, and some of this stuff is so expensive that people keep around forever.
That is very expensive stuff.
Yeah.
And very solidly built. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it works. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to throw it away?
Yeah.
So if we can just, squeeze another 10 years out of it, that's it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And FireWire devices have been deprecated on Windows and Mac OS, but they still work on Linux.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, that's one of the
even more reason.
Even more of a reason.
Yeah, they apparently work very well with Fado, so that is something to aim for still. I'm expecting a FireWire device. I have my FireWire card ready to plug in my desktop.
Oh, look at you! Yes. You're getting ready to go. I love it.
I get the FireWire card. I can see if I can make it work.
Yes, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, Wim. So I wanted to let you know, we have actually been using PipeWire here on this show since like the very early experimental days.
It's pretty cool.
Like what Michael and Ryan, about
as soon as it
years?
Was released in Fedora, yeah. Immediately, yeah. We were like, we're playing with this. And it got to the point where the first time we experienced PipeWire, we started using it. It did what we wanted it to do. And then Fedora was the only distro that had PipeWire support. So everyone was using Fedora and there was no other option. I talked about how we were fans of PipeWire and your work. This is, it's not really, we're not expressing it as well because it was such a game changer for us that even though we were not all using Fedora, we all became using Fedora because that was the only option at the time. And it also made me still use Fedora. Like, I'm still a Fedora user. And it's because it was such a
even early change. On, even with any issues it had, it was still exactly what we needed to do our work.
Exactly.
First time.
And it was so impactful that it made it where if a distro, like Ryan said earlier, if a distro didn't have PipeWire, it just wasn't an option for us to use other than maybe like playing with it for a little bit.
Yeah. It's a big deal. This is a big deal what you all have done there.
Yes.
For sure.
So, Wim, PipeWire is an open source project, of course. How can our listeners, you know, regardless of their technical skill level, get involved and contribute?
The usual responses, I guess, apply here. No, it goes from non-technical things like translations. We have our bug tracker. You can try to reproduce bugs or read them or try to triage them. And then it goes a little bit further. You know, you experiment with the tools and the API. You get some more knowledge. You write about it, make YouTube videos about it, write applications. Feature requests, nice. Find bugs,
yeah.
Fix a bug, make a merge request, become the new maintainer.
Yeah. Oh,
write,
boy.
Write
that's a new one. That is a new one. That's a new response to that question. You said like the usuals, replace me was not one we were expecting to hear.
Give me a break. Let me take a vacation. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting because I feel like with PipeWire, there is a unique opportunity for people who love audio. I'm thinking Scrapjaw, people like Scrapjaw, Michael, in our community who play all of these musical instruments and have all of these different interfaces.
Introduced us like what you could do with Jack like years ago.
Yeah.
And
Because he originally set me up with Jack back in the day. Of course, I don't need those interfaces anymore. I can do it simpler through the GUIs for my purposes, that is. But I'm thinking about people like that have access to all this audio equipment, doing some of those tests as a way to contribute and seeing what works, what's not working, and getting that information in would be super helpful in this particular application. Because like you said, you only have access to, you're getting a FireWire card. You only have access to so many pieces of equipment there, but between all of us in the community, we've got a lot of pieces of equipment we could be doing some audio testing on and things like that to help make PipeWire even better. Love it.
Especially for the high-end equipment like the Dante hardware with the mega mixers in audio studios and all of that.
Yeah.
Everybody has that at home. If somebody can test that in a studio and report how it goes.
Incredible.
That would be great. So we have a wiki page where people are actually testing these things and these setups, venues with performances and all of that.
Very good. Love it. We'll have those linked in the show notes for sure. Also, there's a lot of myths that are created. You know, we like to do myth busting in this show. Mm-hmm. So are there any issues with the aspects of using Pipewire that people have created any kind of myth around that you'd like to clear up for our listeners?
Like, you know, rumors, stuff, you know, like,
that's misconceptions wrong, that people just like to promote.
It might even be something you heard on this show. You never know.
It also might be something like I previously asked you a question about the support of Pulse Audio and Pipewire and how that works. And one of those, the reason I was asking is because I had a misconception about that. So there's might be some more.
Yeah, like for example, Pipewire is a layer on top of Pulse Audio, Jack and Alza, just a layer on top that gives like
Ryan, the impression I told you that's that not what it was.
It gives the impression of a unified thing.
I might have said that before.
I might have to.
Yeah.
What is the proper way to describe it in a simple way, like that everyday people could understand that it's a...
I would say the D-bus for multimedia. D-bus sends messages to apps and between things. Pipewire sends multimedia between apps.
So it's basically a replacement for all of it.
For D-bus, no.
No, I mean a replacement for the multimedia parts. You know,
if you can get rid, well, if you would rewrite all the Jack applications to natively use Pipewire and rewrite all the Pulse Audio applications to natively use Pipewire, then you wouldn't have to deal with any of those two APIs anymore. But that is not. I don't see.
So how does it relate to ALSA?
It sits on top of ALSA. So ALSA is always a little bit weird. So ALSA has a part in the kernel, the drivers. Without them, you don't have any sound at all. Then there is a small use space library that that just maps API calls to the kernel APIs. And then there is not so small layer inside the ALSA libraries with plugins and config and all these kind of things. So that part is for a long time not useful anymore, but the kernel API is pretty much still useful for ALSA. So it sort of replaces one part of ALSA, but that one part of ALSA was already replaced by Pulse Audio. I don't think it's going to change. I think many people still want to run ALSA only applications without an audio server. So I think that all of that infrastructure is still going to stay there for those use cases. But audio servers, they use the bare bone minimum of ALSA.
This episode of Destination Linux is sponsored by Linbit. Linbit has been keeping digital businesses running for over 20 years. They're the makers of open source products like DRBD, which is high availability software that has been part of the Linux kernel since 2010, and LinStore, industry-leading open source software-defined storage. Linbit has an active presence in the open source community, and they collaborate with the community to help identify and build new features. Linbit provides enterprise-grade software that runs on a variety of platforms and OSs without vendor lock-in. What that means is that you could choose the software on any platform, including specific hardware that you want to use, or just off-the-shelf hardware that you get and connect it. All of this stuff can be interchanged really easily. And with DRBD and LinStore, you can have high-speed replicated block storage in almost any configuration, whether it's Kubernetes, Apache Cloud, or Open Nebula. There's even DRBD proxy for long-distance replication. Linbit is run by its founders to this day, and all of its engineers and developers are in-house with offices in Europe and North America, which allows them to have global 24/7 support to complement their enterprise offerings. Visit linbit.com to learn more about the people behind Linbit and the awesome software for block storage, duplication, and more.
You know, one of the things that we talk about, kind of the impact this project, you and those who've worked on it, have made for our show, but I think it's important to call out, too, of one of the things we love about open source, one of the things we love about the community aspect of it, is that it closes the digital divide, right? People who don't have access to buy $1,000 pieces of software to do, you know, your next generation of kids who want to do audio engineering, want to become a DJ, want to become the next musician,
mechanic.
They don't have access. Maybe they've got a bunch of old equipment that no longer has drivers for it in Windows or Mac or other stuff, and they're plugging it in. They think they can use Linux, but they're so far behind because they don't have an audio server. They don't know what Jack is. They barely know what Linux is, just enough to get it running. And so, you know, it's really one of those areas where audio was not in my opinion, up until Pipewire came around, a option that a lot of people who are wanting to get in that field could really explore easily or well and utilize Linux. Now, Pipewire is around and all of these fancy interfaces and things are working, and your generation of kids who now, you know, don't have the money or resources to be able to become that DJ engineer and pay $2,000 for software or buy software licenses and things, have access to all of these cool tools from not only the software that's written outside of Pipewire, but all sits, you know, on top of that, able to use it and interface with it. It's just what you have done is so important. And I hope you understand that. And I'm just curious, for those who are wanting to get into the advanced features of Pipewire, for those kids out there who want to become audio engineers and kind of understand how to interface their different equipment, maybe more advanced ways, is there any resources you've come across or that you would guide them to kind of help them get started in that arena?
It's a difficult question. I think if you're getting into the more advanced features, you're starting to look at Jack applications, effect tracks, the tools to wire plugins together, these kind of things.
QPW graph is a great one. That's what we use to wire everything together. Yep.
Yeah, or even if you want to go more advanced and then integrate an effect track in there, like Carla, for example.
Mm-hmm. Carla's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, you know, to set up compression and all these things that you would use for broadcasting, wire things together. But there's super many tools that are cool. You know, all these synthesizers that you can hook up together, drum machines, and then when I wrote Pipewire as well, I was like, wow, there's so many cool tools, and I want to play with all of them. Bought a keyboard here to play with all these synthesizers, and you know, you can make your own waves and use them together, make your own instruments.
Yeah,
it's more like an application, because Pipewire itself, really, you know, it just roots things between those very cool applications. There is some things that you can learn as well. You know, if you want to know about NetJack or something, that's also supported. You can read about that on our wiki, how to set that up.
Thanks. That's awesome.
So looking ahead, Wim, what are your exciting plans for the future of Pipewire? Can you give us any nuggets of information of what's coming and any new features or functionalities on the horizon?
I think the next year is mostly about video.
Nice. I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say that, because I really want to be able to use my video on multiple WebRTC platforms at the same time. That would be really nice.
Yeah, so as I said before, so there's part one. Applications actually need to go to Pipewire. So that is coming. OBS does it. The browser will do it, or does it already. Newer versions of Firefox, I'm not quite sure about Chrome, but it's actually built in WebRTC. So it should be shared. So there's that. That's video. And then you can sort of route video between cameras, because we don't really have anything else. What you then also need is some sort of plugin manager, like what you have for Jack, but we don't really have anything for video for that, where, you know, you can apply effects on your camera, blurring the background.
That'd be awesome. Share it across.
And so all these things that are baked into the browser, they could just as well just go outside there. Inside the graph managed operating system.
That'd be cool. So all the stuff that's being done with like Google Meet, where you can do like blur effects or change the background and stuff like that, and theoretically could be sent through Pipewire into anywhere you wanted to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But for that's example, awesome. There's more. As soon as you get Pipewire for video cameras, you can also make a new video stream with Pipewire. So you can take a video stream from a camera, do some effects on it, and make a new video source, which you then consume in the browser.
Oh, that would be very powerful.
Oh, that'll be helpful for us.
Yeah. So for example, in OBS, there is an experimental patch that is not yet merged, but that's the virtual camera.
Yeah.
So you have your whole scene, you say start camera, and the whole thing becomes a new camera that you can access from Firefox then.
What? That's crazy cool. That would be so helpful.
You can route video around in QPW graph and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, so there's a bit of stuff that needs to be done. Like, for example, video conversion there, or if you do any effects, it needs to work with Vulkan. So we're still, or at least something accelerated, because else it's going to fall flat.
So is there somewhere we can like send you a coffee or something to help you keep coding to get this done sooner?
Yeah.
Like, a coffee just keep filling your cup up, you know, until we get it. That's awesome stuff. That's exciting.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So there are some other things that need to happen. So there's ways of making the video transport between applications a lot more efficient with explicit sync by keeping the hardware surfaces inside the graphic card. While you do all the transformations, you don't actually need to synchronize on them. You can just push that all into the graphic card and let it do the sync and stuff like that. So there's ways of doing that in PyPAR. So those are things that need to come. Probably also network video, because why not?
Mm-hmm.
Because why not?
Why not? That's the best. I love it. Well, we are huge fans, like we've already said. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are also huge fans, and they would like to maybe donate to the project. Is there a way to do that? Is there a way people can help make the, you know, participate in that way? So I know you already talked about contributions and stuff like that, but what about donations?
There is a LiberaPay link on our website where you can send money.
Awesome.
So,
we can link that in the show notes.
We try to use that for hackfests or hardware and the domain name, small things, but we haven't actually used any of it. Well, maybe like €50 for the domain name. That's about it. So yeah, it's sitting there. Don't know exactly what to do with it. Maybe do a prize or something.
Well, the hardware support stuff is really good. And the hackfest thing, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because we've seen some huge improvements happen to projects during those hackfests, specifically with Ubuntu and other things where we've seen, you know, all of a sudden they come out of the hackfest and you've got these features that people have been wanting for 10 years that get done, you know, some magical coders in the crowd.
Maybe we like could fund a PyPAR Summer of Code.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome. There we can fill up your coffee in person so you can't sleep. We'll just keep caffeining it until we get all the features in there.
But it's nice and stuff sitting here in your basement writing code. But if you go talk with other people and people that have ideas about these things, like what you do in Hackfest, you come up with really good plans and ideas to execute.
Yeah.
It's always a source of inspiration.
Absolutely. So you've made it through our official interview. Congratulations. It was amazing. But we have something on the show that you didn't know about unless you listen a lot, which is a lightning round where we're going to ask you really quick fire questions. The first thing that comes to mind, shoot it out. And if you pass this, then you don't really get anything other than a congratulations.
Yeah,
it's for fun. It's for fun. So I'm going to kick us off here. And no, Michael, you're going to kick us off. First lightning round question, then Jill right afterwards, and then we'll just keep firing. All right, go.
So the first question is, what is your favorite desktop environment?
GNOME.
Best snack for coding?
Water.
Favorite genre of music?
Metal jazz. Does that exist?
Sure.
Yeah. The next one is Crocs. Are they acceptable to wear or a social failure?
Acceptable to wear.
Favorite movie?
Oof, I don't know. The Matrix.
Oh, awesome. One of my favorites. That's
all right, last one.
Ryan is green.
Yep. Your favorite IDE to code in?
Vim.
Nice.
You're going to get a lot of love for that one.
That's an IDE, but I could.
Don't mess with the Vim users. They're going to love you. Absolutely. So, look, we want to thank you truly, if we haven't said it enough, for all the work in developing PipeWire and for everyone who's contributed to that project and gotten involved in helping make audio on Linux for the first time a first-class citizen, which is amazing because I think it's going to bring so many people, already has, into audio with Linux that weren't there before. So thank you again for coming on the show. We'd love to have you back anytime you have anything exciting about Pipewire. We can do a mini interview. You don't have to spend as much time, but we'd love to have you on to talk about this stuff because we're geeks for it. We're geeks for everything you do. We're huge fans. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Now in our special event section, we're going to talk about some news that's really exciting, Michael. Scale's coming up right around the corner.
It already happened, Ryan.
Yeah, but the next one's right around the corner.
Oh, you mean the year, a year from now? It's right around the corner?
2025.
I love it how you say right around the corner no matter when it happens, because eventually it's going to be true.
Eventually it's right around the corner.
The circle of life.
Well, if you notice, Michael.
It was around the other corner behind you right now.
If you notice Michael and I's voice being a little scratchy, would be the best way to describe it. It's because we just got back from Scale, and one of you who fist bumped us got us sick. That's what I'm going with. One of you is responsible. Yeah, so we want you to write in and let us know if you are the one who got us sick.
Take credit for hurting us.
I bet you it was a croc wearer.
Yeah,
it probably was a croc wearer.
I hugged a lot of people and I didn't get sick.
Of course you didn't, Jill.
Of course you didn't, Jill.
It's like, even no one's viruses gonna, are like, see, it's Jill. See,
exactly. Like, here's the best part is that whoever got us sick was like, no, we can't risk Jill. So
you were hoping you'd have an episode with just Jill by getting me and Michael sick, but you were wrong. We're still here.
We're still just here.
Half dead. In there.
But luckily, we had a great interview to put into the episode. So we previously recorded that before we went to Scale.
Yeah.
And didn't actually have to speak that much this episode. So that was good, I guess, you know. Worked
out. Speaking of great interviews, we have some incredible interviews to share with you from Scale, including one that's been years in the making that Jill set up with us. And so we're really excited to share all of those. You'll be getting those in future episodes. Some legends within Linux will be on this show, and you'll definitely not want to miss those coming up. Plus, we're going to talk about Scale in coming episodes and some of the events and awesome things that happened there. So if you weren't able to attend, that's okay. We're going to get you all excited for the next Scale that's right around the corner.
Right
so
around.
You can get your ticket. Nice. Get your tickets right soon. I mean,
51 corners.
51 right corners, and that's right there. So that's our episode today, though. And a big thank you to each and every one of you for supporting us by watching or listening to Destination Linux. And a special thanks to everyone who came up to our booth and thanked us for the show. Just gave us so much love at Scale. We really do appreciate it. It means the world to us, helps us keep going. And a special thanks to all of our patrons as well that make this show happen, because honestly, without them, you wouldn't have this free show every single week. So really appreciate everything the patrons do. Thank you for your continued support. And you can join us on Discord and get to know us before the next Scale right around the corner. You can go to tuxdigital.com/Discord and come hang out with us there in the Discord chat. We talk about Linux, open source, gaming, fitness, every subject category is covered there, plus all of our individual shows. So if you want to check that out, go to tuxdigital.com/Discord.
If you like this show and you want to watch it live, you can do that by becoming a patron. You can go to tuxdigital.com/membership. You also get a bunch of other cool perks. We have special access on our Discord server, so they're patrons only. We also have our patron-only post show that happens every week after the show to hang out with us for 30 minutes to an hour or something, like whatever it happens to be. Sometimes it's longer, sometimes who knows. You can go to tuxdigital.com/membership to do that. And there's also the Tux Digital store. I had massive plans to make changes this week after coming back from Scale. Then I got sick and didn't do anything except sleep a lot, which was good for me, but not for the getting the store finished. So tuxdigital.com/store is still the same one, but it will be changing soon. So if you want some swag that may or may not be moving over, then you could check out the current store and then guaranteed next
swag.
Week. Yeah, there's a lot of cool swag there. There's a lot of cool swag there. But there will be even more swag. Well, not necessarily more swag, different swag.
New swag.
New swag. And all that's coming in the next store, which will hopefully be next week when I've recovered.
It won't be fun. Just a little heads up.
And it'll be hopefully when I recovered.
Hopefully when I recover.
It's right around the corner, folks. The new store is right around the corner.
It's right around 51 corners, people. Yeah. So go to tuxdigital.com/store for t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, stickers, and more.
You know, sometimes the community is so like on it with the memes and things that come from this show. And there was someone in our Discord who said, "Hey, Ryan, have you seen all the changes Michael made to the store?" And I clicked on the link and it was the same store. And I remember just now, I didn't get their joke, but just now I get their joke that you never updated the store. I
didn't change anything.
And so, like, they're so good. Like, the memes.
Okay, to be fair, I did change stuff, but the way to get to the new one is not accessible yet. And that's why you can't see it.
Yeah, that way you can't see it.
That is funny.
That is really good. You guys, the memes that you come up to us with in person or scream at us on the sidewalk with are fantastic. Also, there was a Sinister Wendy shirt spotted at scale, which I absolutely love. That's
awesome. And also many people came up to us and asked about where are Crocs at? And
lots of Crocs talk. And by the way, if you're tuxdigital.com, you go there /membership, become a patron. One of the perks you get is this smoker's voice filter that we'll send you, where you can sound
like
three packs a day. Clearly, that's not a real perk.
That's the reason why it happened. Yes.
Yeah. This is a new filter. It's a perk.
That's awesome.
All right. Sorry, Coach Hill.
Make sure to check out all the incredible shows here on Tux Digital. That's right. We have an entire network of shows to fill your entire week with geeky, cool goodness. Check out Linux Out Loud with Matt, Nate, and Wendy, having a blast and sharing their passion for Linux and open source. And everyone head to tuxdigital.com and subscribe to all our awesome shows. And don't forget to leave a rating on your favorite app, so others can discover the power of open source and keep those penguins marching in the full Monty of Linux and open source awesome sauce. And everybody, have a great week. And remember that the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
Thanks, everyone.
See you next week.
Love you all.
I mean, hopefully. We're planning to be there.
Yeah.
Probably going to be there. Yes. And most of you, by the way. And also... if you're wondering, you become a patron or go to tuxdigital.com/membership. You didn't hear that before. In addition to getting the voice filter for our raspy sound, you can also get the secret of how to not get sick at a conference from Jill.
Yeah.
And
while still hugging everyone somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow she did. Yes, she hugged people.
I didn't hug nobody.
How you get sick? I didn't hug anybody. I don't remember. Did I? I don't think so. Maybe I did. I don't remember. I got sick.
Jill
the second
is like ground zero. What if she got us sick?
Oh no!
That explains so much.
She's the carrier.
Tons of antibacterial, and I probably washed my hands at least 10 times each day.
Oh, that's different than me. I was eating Cheetos the whole time and kept licking my fingers, so that could be what happened.
That was why we had antibacterial at the Linux Chick-fil-A everyone.
Jill. I said they have to become a patron to get this information. Now you're giving it away for free.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We already give the whole show away for free, Jill. We can't give everything else out for free.
My bad. Like,
they get a whole show for free. I mean, it's a damn good joke.
You want to give them extra, you know? That's the whole point of the membership.
Oh, we got to sign autographs. That was awesome.
You know what was new this year is digital autographs. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. And so that way they can take that, digitize it, put it on fake checks, and hack our bank
account. Pretend to be us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cool.
Except that's why
my last name is not really DOS Geek, so you didn't really get much on me.
And also, my name doesn't include smiley faces inside it, just so you know.
It kind of does. A little hint about Michael's, he signs everything with a smiley face. So if you want to impersonate him, just put a smiley face there.
I mean, he saw me do that one time and now believes that I do it all the time.
Yes.
I did my name curly Q with a penguin and a heart on top.
Jill, why did you have to one-up us on the signature?
All the time.
Like, I did the fill your brain quote thing too, which I thought was like extra. I was like, yeah, mine's extra. And then Jill's like, look at mine. I drew a whole picture. And if you click the pages, it moves. Like, it's like, what? Really, Jill? Like, you got to one-up everything we do, you know?
By the way, for those who think we're giving Jill a hard time, we're not. We love Jill, which is, this is like, we got an email that was basically saying we shouldn't be like messing with Jill. Like we're not messing with Jill. We're basically just pointing out how awesome she is every time. So, you know, anyway, it doesn't matter. By the way, if you want to wear Crocs, it's okay. Ryan loves Crocs secretly. He has like 500 pairs.
Secret Croc lover fan.
You are?
I wanted to get the Croc stock to go down and people to not like them so I could buy more Crocs, basically.
Yeah, so he could create his collection complete.
The Croc prices, the inflation has really hit Crocs.
There's literally $500 Crocs, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I do have plastic. Crocs.
I do have Croc flip-flops that are quite comfortable and they look nice.
No, they don't, Jill.
I know, my husband agrees.
They're Crocs, they don't look
nice. I think the sickness has made us go onto this like random tangent of nonsense. We weren't supposed
to do all this extra show.
Yeah, then we should just end this.
This is awesome.
To end it, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the best compliments we got from one of our viewers at Scale was he thought we were the Entertainment Tonight of Linux. And I think this demonstrates.
Nice.
I hate it.
I mean, that's tonight. I mean, we are very entertaining.
That was actually a compliment.
What's Entertainment Tonight? Isn't it that new
TV show from a while ago, I think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to watch it every night, Monday through Friday, for all the Star Trek news back in the day in like the 80s and 90s.
No, maybe it was a compliment. I never heard of that.
Go on YouTube and check it out and see if you
can. We're the Crocs of podcasting.
That's an insult, Ryan. You shouldn't. No. Don't put that out there. We're very versatile with four different scenarios that you need to use it in. Okay. I shouldn't go into another story that's about Scale. We should save it for the next episode when we actually talk about Scale. So let's just end the show here. Because I had like two stories just to tell right there. Like, no. Let's go. Let's finish the show. Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Love you all.
You're the Croc people. Repent.